Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
It's a great day in Vision Casting because we want to talk to you about the future of St. Charles River Church. And in order to do that, I want to talk with you just a minute about the past of SCRC. We are a young church. The church that I was at on the pastoral staff before here, we were there, Gene and I were there with our girls for 18 years. And that church, we just celebrated a few years ago, their 75th anniversary, and about now they're 80 years of age. And so many churches in this region have been in existence for no less than 25 to 50, some of them 75. Some of you all may have attended a church that was 100 years old, but as far as establishment, I doubt everybody there is 100 years old from the original. But you're still looking at some of the original families of SCRC. We were born in a school. God gave us, actually it was born in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Then we launched at a Anheuser-Busch property because we wanted to keep the religious people, you know, kind of off guard a little bit. So we went to Anheuser-Busch property. We launched there. We did that for 4 weeks in parks and got around a little bit. And by that time, many Assembly of God people probably figured out they didn't want to be with us simply because what we were doing was not emphasizing an organization or a movement or a non-denom. We were emphasizing just Christ and the Christ life. And that's what we do here. Welcome to SCRC. We're blessed that you are here. But in the early stages of this church, God gave us a vision of who we were to be. And my wife and I prayed about that. For a couple of years, we prayed about what it is and when it is that we were supposed to launch the church and how it was supposed to look. And a book that changed my life, how many remember The Purpose-Driven Church? How many remember it? The Purpose-Driven Church, I read it. It was given to me by Phil Norris, a gentleman from the United Pentecostal World Headquarters. He was a friend of mine. And Phil gave me that book, and I read the book, and it changed how I thought. It actually, to be honest with you, it frustrated me at first because everything he was challenging was who I was. And everything he was challenging, which was who I was not working in reaching the people I felt we need to reach here in this community. And so I accepted the challenge, and as I went through God's Word, I was verifying the things that I found in His book. And I love His approach to things. We're not afraid to fail at church. If we have a ministry that lasts for a season and it goes down, we celebrate the successes of the ministry. We don't get upset because we don't try and maintain it just because dear sister so-and-so always ran it for those, you know, Sister Betty used to run it for all those 50 years, and we got to keep it going. We didn't take that approach. We took the approach, as long as it's relevant, we kept it. And when it wasn't relevant, we let her go. And we celebrated the successes. It was a freedom that Mike was talking about today. There's a freedom in faith. So I began to read, and as God gave us the vision for SCRC, these five purposes appeared that are hanging over your head on these banners in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Those five purposes stood out to me, not because Rick Warren identified them, but he did help me identify them, but I verified in my heart. That really is why the church exists, for the purpose of worshiping God, fellowship with God first, and then in a healthy way, then we can fellowship with others in a healthy way. Ministering to the heart of God in our worship, but also ministering to the needs of others. See a need, meet a need. That's a philosophy we adopted quickly at this church. See a need, meet a need. And then discipleship. We believe that every person needs to come to the intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ after salvation. And so we believe in discipleship. We're going to take some action today about some things. And also the last one, evangelism. We need to reach the community. It's not the great option. It was called the Great Commission for a reason. And like a military issues these commands, our commander in chief, our commander, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, he issued this declaration of providence that we would be who he would reach the world through, you and me. And so we took those five purposes seriously, and we decided to fly them as banners over our heads to remind us every Sunday. Exactly, or every time we walk in the auditorium, why we exist as a church. By the way, those things fit your family too. Those things fit your family. Because a healthy nucleus, or a nuclear family in the home is a, can provide a nuclear, or a healthy church family as well. So we are all about your family. We are going to, I just want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to do some vision casting today. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to tell you a great story. It's about when God raised up Joshua as a leader. And it was truly one of my favorite, if not my favorite story of all. Gene, how are you doing? It's great to see you. It's all one of my favorite stories in the Bible about God raising up a leader. Joshua, if you don't know the story, and I don't ever buzz by a story, because I've had people tell me, no, don't assume we know the story. I wasn't raised in Sunday school. I want to know it. So Moses was actually, this is after the Exodus. Moses had taken the people out in the people of Israel out into the desert. They had been there 40 years and they were wandering. And of course, we know this. If you know the story, you know that because of the sin that took place between God and Moses, God told Moses, you're not going into the promised land. I'll let you see it, but you're not going in. And so at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, the book just before this, you'll see that Moses died with God's blessing, by the way. God blessed him in the words that he spoke of Moses. There was no prophet like him. I mean, God spoke highly of this God man, this prophet that he took home personally, and he gave him the honor of burying him himself. In fact, at the end of Deuteronomy, you'll notice that it actually says in the last chapter that God buried him himself, and no one knows to this day who or where Moses is buried. God took him. What an honor. I mean, that's quite an honor. So in the next book, which is Joshua, the next book over, you see, I don't know what your subheading is, but some of them say the Lord raises Joshua to leadership. Mine, the NIV in mine says the Lord commands Joshua. There's a command here that's taking place as he's raising Joshua up. And can you imagine Joshua at that time thinking, oh, let me just read this to you. Listen to this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, he didn't say this to the people of Israel, he began speaking to Joshua. The same as he spoke to Moses before, now he's speaking to the new leader, Joshua. All of a sudden, God is placing this mantle on Joshua that once rested on the great Moses and the people of Israel. And he, you gotta know, I mean, I'm just being real with you. Can you imagine what was going through Joshua's mind? He's dead. He's gotta mourn. Quickly, he's got to mourn, get this, his head around that Moses is gone. He's actually dead. We don't see all this in here, but it's humanity. It's the humanity of he's gone. Moses is gone. And so he has to, I'm sure, overcome some levels of panic, some levels of mourning, great levels of mourning, great levels of panic. And all of a sudden, God is saying these words to him. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. He is now then you, he says, and all of these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you're to set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea and on to the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of my life, or of your life rather, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. All of a sudden, you guys, I'm just being real with you guys on the level of, can you imagine what Joshua was thinking? You've got to be kidding. Would you do it, God, would you do me a favor and give a public announcement to what you just said? Would you let them hear all? That's not how the story goes. All of a sudden, Joshua, and I'm going to read a little bit of it here, and you'll understand why I'm stopping there. But all of a sudden, Joshua was like, I have to go out there and declare. He tells Joshua, go out there and tell the people. I'm not going to tell the people. God says, I'm not going to tell the people. He says, Joshua, you're going to tell the people. And can you imagine, Lord, can you imagine the negotiating that went on in that closet? or under that tree, whatever it was. Can you imagine? You've got to be kidding. How many times have you negotiated with the Lord? Do you know how many times I tried to negotiate when we were talking church planting? Because I tried to get Rex to do this church. If you don't know, Rex was my mentor. That guy that I was served underneath him for years and years and years. And we were driving down 94. In 1993, we were driving down Highway 94. And he said, Bear, there needs to be a church out here. And I said, when are you going to do it? And he said, well, we're just going to pray about it. We're going to pray about it. And God gave me, right at Mid Rivers Mall, the old Mid Rivers Crossing, and 94, he gave me this name, St. Charles River Church. And I thought, why in the world? I'm not going to tell Rex what the name of this church is going to be. It's his church. He needs to pastor it. He needs to name it. And so I never gave him that name. But God spoke it to me. And all of a sudden, as the picture began to clear through the years, Gina and I realized, oh, you were talking to me. Have you ever negotiated with God successfully? Well, all of a sudden, Joshua realizes he is the man. And he goes, and I'm gonna read it, but all of a sudden, Joshua goes down in verse 10, it says, Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, tell the people, get your supplies ready, 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go into and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving to you to be your own. All of a sudden, Joshua rose to the occasion. He didn't have long to make a choice about this, and I don't believe there was a whole lot of choice in this thing, because God rested the mantle on him. I want you to know something. When God rests the mantle on a man or a woman, or a boy or a girl, they're changed. There's something about that mantle that changes them. And all of a sudden, Joshua, he didn't have self-confidence, he had God confidence. All he had seen, what did God say to him? The same as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. In other words, the same as you saw me work through Moses, I'm going to work through you. The same as you heard me speak through Moses, I'm going to speak through you. You're going to experience things that the mighty great Moses experienced. And all of a sudden, this confidence in God began to arise. And Joshua steps out there with the confidence, not of himself. I don't believe, you know something? I don't believe in self-esteem. I don't believe in that at all. I believe in Christ's esteem. We've taught that for 16 years now. My esteem is not based on who I am and of myself. My esteem is based on a tree 2,000 years ago. That God loves me that much, I can be confident that He loves me that much, that He is going to do everything He says He was. And if He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, you can count on it. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. We believe so profoundly in God raising the mantle up on people that we've done that here. We've recognized through the years that that God's way of doing things here at St. Charles River Church, this is our vision. It is to see God raise people up. I don't bring pastors in. I rarely ever do that. What we do is believe that God raises up pastors just like He raised me. I was behind a hairstyling chair for 18 years. I managed our family's hairstyling salons, House of Ivy up in North County for years and years and years. We were there as a family for over 50 years in the North County area. And every time another pastor would come in, every time Gene and I would go anywhere, people would say, you know God's hand is on your lives. Finally, Rex called me into his office and he said, Bear, when are you going to stop running? God's hand is on your life. And he slid me a book across his desk and I said, what's that? He said, that's your first course in Bible college. And I slid it back across. I said, that won't be necessary. No, thank you. He said, Bear, you can't keep running. And he slid it back. And I slid it back. I said, Rex, I'm dead serious. I'm not going to start that. And he said, Bear, yes, you are. You see, there's a commission that takes place. Everyone else was recognizing the mantle that was placed on Gina and I at the time. I didn't want it. I didn't want it. So today we are recognizing that whether you want it or not, if He is after you, He's going to get you. You might as well stop running. I'm going to tell you straight up. This isn't even in what I was going to say. You better stop running. You might as well stop running. Wives, turn to your husbands and say, stop running. And don't get mad at me, guys, because I did that. Because usually it's not the girl that's running. It's us guys that are the great hesitators. Today we're going to recognize two pastoral additions to our staff. And I believe God deserves a great hand of praise today. Two pastoral additions. Go ahead and give the Lord a huge hand. I'm going to ask Reverend Michael Bowie and his bride, Christine, to join me on the platform. And their children, if they are in the room, may join them if they would like to. And if my elders and their spouses and Gina would join me on the platform as well. All of the pastoral staff and your spouses, please. Pastor Eli and Ann, we'd love to have you up here if you don't mind. Would love to. We're just going to lay hands on these guys. I'm going to read a declaration and then I'm going to read a charge. All of my elders, their spouses, my pastors and their spouses as well. Hold that till I'm ready. Thank you. We recognize that the purpose of pastoring worship is very important here at SCRC. We recognize that worship, we want that flag to be flown, not only in a building, I want it to be flown on my staff. Where no matter where we meet, there is a pastor that is pastoring the worship flag. That is making sure that no matter what we do, there's an act of worship in and training in worship. Whether it's raising up new worship teams, whether it's training youth for future worship opportunities, whatever that is, we believe that the purpose of worship, everything that we do, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. This is our only reasonable form of worship. It's what God's Word says. So we want to totally give all. We want to pastor today the purpose of worship. Mike, you've already seen, does a fantastic job during our morning services. But I believe God's giving him a vision well past just the Sunday morning. What God's going to do is amazing. I want to charge you, Mike and Christine, out of that same portion of Scripture, the next verse. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Kingdom success is really the only success in life. When we leave this world, our family spending eternity with Christ is the real success. And all of those that are brought with us, the friends, the relatives, those are the successes because they're eternal. That you'll be successful wherever you go, wherever you go. We love this being part of your journey. But wherever you go, God's hand is on you. And the mantle of pastor is being rested upon you today. There's a weight that goes with it. I remember it very well. There's a weight that goes with that. I remember it very well. Seemed like when I walked off that platform, everything was different. And it is. Can you get a little bit of what maybe Joshua felt like on that day? It says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. You'll be tempted to be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Oh, let me go ahead and put that in here. Thank you. This says it is a certificate of ordination. This is to certify that Michael G. Bowie has given evidence of a divine call to the ministry and having attained to scriptural standards prescribed by St. Charles River Church of the Assemblies of God. It is hereby given a certificate of ordination and authorization to perform all essential functions of a credentialed minister subject to the laws of the state. This recognition as a credentialed minister is prayerfully granted, invoking the divine presence with blessing and power, and is valid as long as fellowship with St. Charles River Church and a godly life, scriptural standard of teaching are maintained, given this 18th day of September of the year of our Lord, 2016. Mike, you're already credentialed. You're licensed Assemblies of God minister. But what this does, it covers you and Christine and your family with the full blessing and anointing and backing of St. Charles River Church, this local fellowship. Do all that you do to honor him and to honor each other in Jesus' name. Would you stand and stretch your hands towards the Bowie family? We're going to lay hands on them, and that mantle is going to rest upon you today. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the same as you place that mantle on Joshua, I ask you, God, that you will do the same for Pastor Mike and Christine. Let their children be guarded. That glass house that suddenly appears can be so threatening. Lord, teach us to have grace and mercy upon our pastors and their families, and to remember that they are a family first, and that what they do as a family first is the most important. So we'll guard them and we'll protect them, and we'll declare their rights to be parents, and rights to be parents sometimes with errant decisions like many of mine were. But we stand alongside them and we say, yes, Lord, rest the mantle now of pastor of worship upon Pastor Mike Bowie and Christine. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, we worship you. Let's just worship him today. Father, we worship you, God. You are amazing. You're amazing, God, that you've given us Mike and Christine. Oh, my Lord, you are a gracious God to grant this church such a blessing. Guide and protect them, we ask you. Give them wisdom. Make your face to shine upon them wherever they go, that they would be granted the favor of the Lord. By the power of your Spirit, I charge you, Mike and Christine, to walk in the Spirit daily by the power of God in that mighty name. And every believer said, amen. Amen. Hey, buddy. Thank you, buddy. Love you, man. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. I'll present that to you. Would you give them a hand as they step off the platform? Thank you, Mike. Okay, you may step down. There you go. If Pastor Mike and Christine would remain on the front row, just go ahead and have a seat. Here you go. You're welcome. Hey, buddy. Oh, that's right. We all stay up here, don't we? Okay. Today we're also adding to our staff, our pastoral staff, for the very first time in 16 years, finally, we are adding today a pastor of fellowship and of discipleship. We're going to be launching new small groups right here at St. Charles River Church this fall. This growth season, we're going to be launching new small groups. And through the discipleship, or through our small groups, we're going to be launching the discipleship. It's going to take, it just takes time to launch these things. We've had them going for a while, and then, you know, when people move out of the area because of the economy, some of your best teachers, some of your best modelers are gone, and we got down to where we just had a few. But we're praying and preparing for, we said it a few weeks ago, have said it for several weeks, we're preparing for growth now. You don't put the classes together and you don't put the small groups together if you don't have people. But we are preparing, we're putting the structure in place now for robust discipleship and a robust fellowship, which will be lived out through small groups here at St. Charles River Church. If you are interested in becoming a part of the future of discipleship here at SCRC and you've attended for 6 months or better, or if you would, if not, still see us because we want to talk to you. But if you've been here for that long and you would like to talk about being a small group leader or leaders, you and your spouse, make sure you talk with us. We want to speak with you about that opportunity. But I'm going to ask Carl and Kelly Thane, and if they would join me on the platform with their family members that they have asked to join them, and you may come right up. Thank you, guys. Yes. Give the Thanens a wonderful hand. Absolutely. Thank you. Okay.
I feel like I'm getting married.
I know you're not supposed to hear everything Carl said. I feel like I'm getting married. Brother, you are. You are. If you only knew. Now, I will tell you, I considered having a footstool, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give in to it. I've watched you two, and I've watched your family. You're an amazingly gifted, anointed family. There's no one in this fellowship that doesn't see that, even with mom and dad. Oh my goodness, what a sweet spirit. God has raised you up for a season such as this. And now is the time for us, the elders. We recognize. Where'd Carrie go? Carrie's back there. Come out here, Carrie. Come out here. I want my elders up here with me. I can relate, buddy. I can relate. So, we recognize as the eldership of this church, God's hand is on you. Kelly, we watched you, and we watched you walk with God. And the integrity that you modeled in Christ, as God was transitioning your ministries, we want to give absolute recognition to the church that God birthed you out of. They sowed seed into you, Pastor Greg, and of course his dad as well, and Kim sowed amazing seed into you. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, I know that family, and I know how awesome they are, and I've known them for years since I was a child. It's just an amazing thing that we get to inherit the harvest. And I want you to know, I live for the day. I do. We send people out. We actually see God raise people up here, and we have the privilege of sending people out. But oftentimes, I'm sending those out that I wish I could keep. And now I get, for the first time, really, in a long time, I get to reap some harvest. We honor Greg, and we honor what Pastor Greg and his family poured into you. We honor you as a family because of your integrity. This is a new journey for you. This wasn't just a new church journey. This is a new anointing. We're asking him to rest this mantle of discipleship and fellowship on you today. We will live that out through small groups. We've had lots of conversations. We're believing that God has a purpose for your being here. And however long that season is, we're going to celebrate that God gave us the privilege of being with you. I've watched this girl lay hands on, we were down in Guatemala and I saw her laying hands on little girls at the church service that came to Christ during that church service that were street prostitutes, 12, 13, 14 years of age. She lays her hands, Allison lays her hands on these girls, and they're not trained to do that. They just go over. And she stood there and prayed with them with tears in Spanish running down her face, maybe more limited Spanish than what the little girl had. But I watched God's anointing on this family. It goes from generation to generation to generation. It's amazing. Today we want to recognize publicly. And I want to give you this same charge, Pastor Carl. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. He's made a promise, and he's made a covenant with you. Not only about you and Kelly, but about your children, your children's children, and this family, this church family. You're going to lead this church family into some areas that are going to be amazing. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful in wherever you go. I can just imagine the first wave of disciples coming in. I can see it. People hungry to know Christ, to know more about Christ. I can see it in seeing the growth that's in them and celebrating with you. We see they're making marked strides in their faith, and they're growing in faith. And then one day, Pastor Carl and Kelly get to say, now you teach. It's like Jesus did. Jesus did it with it. He modeled it. You go here. I'll show you. And then, okay, you go. And then what happens? They failed. They would say, Lord, why aren't they being healed? And he would say, well, it's a faith issue here. You know, it's a faith issue. And then he would teach them some more and model it some more. And can you imagine when you first launch those disciplers that have grown underneath your ministry? I can't wait for that day. I will, patiently, but I'm so excited to see that. It says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It is my privilege to present this certificate of ordination to you, but I'm going to have an elder read it to you because this isn't just me. This is a full eldership. Mike, can you get a microphone? There you go. Be instant in season and out of season. That's why I love these guys.
Certificate of ordination. This is to certify that Carl T. Thanen has given evidence of a divine call to the ministry and having attained to the scriptural standards prescribed by St. Charles River Church of the Assemblies of God, is hereby given a certificate of ordination and authorization to perform all essential functions of a credentialed minister, subject to the laws of the state. This recognition as a credentialed minister is prayerfully granted, invoking the divine presence with blessing and power, and is valid as long as fellowship with St. Charles River Church and a godly life and scriptural standard of teaching are maintained. Given this day, 18th of September, in the year of our Lord, 2016.
Love you, man. Proud of you. Thank you. You don't know the honor. You don't know the honor. Love you guys. Hey, girl. Love you. Okay. We love you guys so much. We're so proud of the Thanens and the Bowies, and we just recognize we only have a few minutes. But we recognize the ministries that are going to be launched from here. We are now building the infrastructure for the greatest growth season of St. Charles River Church. Would you stand with me for just a moment? And we're going to ask Pastor Mike and Christine to join us back on the platform. And I'm asking you, now that you have your entire leadership for the first time all standing on the same platform, elders as well as pastors, I want you to stretch your hand out if you would. And I want, if you would, to just ask God, what is it that you're supposed to pray for this leadership? Because I believe it is the greatest potential of St. Charles River Church's history to grow and to actually make impact on the harvest. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful today, God, that you have called us, that you have chosen us, and that you have raised us to that place, that the hand of God is clearly giving us this direction. And that we can step out in faith and say, Lord, we don't do this alone. We know that because, God, you've made a promise that you'll never leave us or never forsake us. Never. You're here with us today, and you will be with us in the tomorrows. I ask your blessing upon this pastoral staff, upon this eldership. God, give our eldership wisdom as we make decisions for the future. Bless their families and keep them, and make your face to shine upon them. Protect them in all of their ways and protect their homes. Most of all, protect their families. Because the enemy will come and he will seek whom he may devour. And he always goes after the leaders. He's cunning. He is sly. And I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, you'll give us discernment by the mighty power of that name. And every believer said, amen. Amen. Give our candidates a huge hand, our new pastors.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharles.riverchurch.org.